The second question. Bhagwan, my parents are so disappointed in me. They worry all the time. They have made my being here possible. So how can I turn from them? What do I owe to my parents? Prem Sunya. The trouble with the family is that children grow out of childhood, but parents never grow out of their parenthood. Man has not even yet learned that parenthood is not something that you have to cling to it forever. When the child is a grown-up person, your parenthood is finished. The child needed it. He was helpless. He needed the mother, the father, their protection. But when the child can stand on his own, the parents have to learn how to withdraw from the life of the child. And because parents never withdraw from the life of the child, they remain a constant anxiety to themselves and to the children. They destroy. They create guilt. They don't help beyond a certain limit. To be a parent is a great art. To give birth to children is nothing. Any animal can do it. It is a natural, biological, instinctive process. To give birth to a child is nothing great. It is nothing special. It is very ordinary. But to be a parent is something extraordinary. Very few people are really capable of being parents. And the criterion is that the real parents will give freedom. They will not impose themselves upon the child. They will not encroach upon his space. From the very beginning, their effort will be to help the child to be himself or to be herself. They are to support, they are to strengthen, they are to nourish, but not to impose their ideas, not to give the shoulds and should nots. They are not to create slaves, but that's what parents all over the world go on doing. Their whole effort is to fulfill their ambitions through the child. Of course, nobody has been ever able to fulfill his ambitions. So every parent is in a turmoil. He knows the death is coming close by every day. He can feel the death is growing bigger and bigger, and life is shrinking. and his ambitions are still unfulfilled, his desires are still not realized, he knows that he has been a failure. He is perfectly aware that he will die with empty hands. Just the way he had come with empty hands, he will go. Now his whole effort is how to implant his ambitions into the child. He will be gone, but the child will live according to him. What he has not been able to do, the child will be able to do. At least through the child, he will fulfill certain dreams. It is not going to happen. All that is going to happen is the child will remain fulfilled, unfulfilled as the parent, and the child will go on doing the same to his children. This goes on and on from one generation to another generation. We go on giving our diseases. We go on infecting children with our ideas which have not proved valid in our own lives. Somebody has lived as a Christian and his life can show that no bliss has happened through it. Somebody has lived like a Hindu and you can see that his life is a hell, but still he wants his children to be Hindus or Christians or Mohammedans. How unconscious man is. I have heard a very sad, mournful man visited a doctor in London, sitting himself in a chair in the waiting room and glumly ignoring the other patients, he awaited his turn. Finally, the doctor motioned him into the inner office, where after a careful examination, the man appeared even more serious, sad, and miserable than ever. "There is nothing really the matter with you," explained the doctor. "You are merely depressed. What you need is to forget your work and your worries. Go out and see a Charlie Chaplin movie and have a good laugh." A sad look spread over the little man's face. "But I am Charlie Chaplin," he said. It is a very strange world. You don't know people's real lives. All that you know is their masks. You see them in the churches. You see them in the clubs, in the hotels, in the dancing halls, and it seems everybody is rejoicing. Everybody is living a heavenly life except you. Of course, because you know how miserable you are within. And the same is the case with everybody else. They are all wearing masks, deceiving everybody. But how can you deceive yourself? You know that the mask is not your original face. But the parents go on pretending before their children, go on deceiving their own children. They are not even authentic with their own children. They will not confess that their life has been a failure. On the contrary, they will pretend that they have been very successful. And they would like the children also to live in the same way as they have lived. Prem Sunya, you ask, my parents are so disappointed in me. Don't be worried at all. All parents are disappointed in their children. And I say all without any exception. Even the parents of Gautama the Buddha were very much disappointed in him. The parents of Jesus Christ were very much disappointed in him. Obviously, they had lived a certain kind of life. They were Orthodox Jews. And this son, this Jesus, was going against many traditional ideas, conventions. Jesus' father, Joseph, must have hoped that now he is growing old, the son will help him in his carpentry, in his work, in his shop. And the stupid son started talking about kingdom of God. Do you think he was very much happy in his old age? Gautam Buddha's father was very old and he had only one son. And that too was born to him when he was very old. His whole life he has waited and prayed and worshipped and did all kinds of religious rituals so that he can have a son, because who is going to look after his great kingdom? And then one day the son disappeared from the palace. Do you think he was very happy? He was so angry, violently angry. He would have killed Gautam Buddha if he had found him. His police, his detectives were searching all over the kingdom where he is hiding. Bring him to me. And Buddha knew it, that he will be caught by his father's agents. So the first thing he did was he left the boundary of his father's kingdom, escaped into another kingdom. And for 12 years nothing was heard about him. When he became enlightened, he came back home to share his joy, to say to the father, that I have arrived home, that I have realized, that I have known the truth, and this is the way. But the father was so angry. He was trembling and shaking. He was old, very old. He shouted at Buddha and he said, "You are a disgrace to me. He saw Buddha. He was standing there in a beggar's robe with a begging bowl. And he said, "How you dare to stand before me like a beggar? You are the son of an emperor. And in our family, there has never been a beggar. My father was an emperor. His father was too, and for centuries we have been emperors. You have disgraced the whole heritage." Buddha listened for half an hour He didn't say a single word. When the father ran out of gas, cooled down a little, tears were coming out of his eyes, tears of anger, frustration. Then Buddha said, I ask for only one favor. Please wipe your tears and look at me. I am not the same person who had left the home. I am totally transformed. But your eyes are so full of tears you cannot see. And you are still talking to somebody who is no more. He has died. And this triggers another anger. And the father said, you are trying to teach me? Do you think I am a fool? Can't I recognize my own son? My blood is running in your veins, and I cannot recognize you? Buddha said, please don't misunderstand me. The body certainly belongs to you, but not my consciousness. And my consciousness is my reality, not my body. And you are right that your father was an emperor, and his father too. But as far as I know about myself, I was a beggar in my past life, and I was a beggar in a previous life too, because I have been searching for truth. My body has come through you, but you have been just like a passage. You have not created me. You have been a medium. And my consciousness has nothing to do with your consciousness. And what I am saying is that now I have come home with a new consciousness. I have gone through a rebirth. Just look at me, look at my joy. And the father looked at the son, not believing what he is saying, but one thing was certainly there, that he was so angry. But the son has not reacted at all. That was absolutely new. He knew his son. If he was just the old person, he would have become as angry as the father, or even more, because he was young and his blood was hotter than the father's. But he is not angry at all. There is absolute peace on his face, a great silence. He is undisturbed, undistracted by the father's anger. The father has abused him. But it seems not to have affected him at all. He wiped his tears from the old eyes, looked again, saw the new grace.